Hello and welcome to our program. Today we continue in our series in the book of Revelation. We'll be looking at Revelation chapter 2. Have your Bible ready. Reading in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1, we read, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." What an interesting portion of scripture. We're going to look at it, but before we do, listen to this message in song and make it your prayer today. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1, we read, first of all, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, unto the angel." Now, that word has been translated messenger several times, and it means unto the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And so we need to realize, though we usually talk about the seven churches in the book of Revelation, we need to talk about the seven pastors in the book of Revelation, for all seven of these letters were addressed to the pastor. And sometimes as pastors, we want to preach to the people about what's being said here, when in reality, God is preaching it to us. "Unto the pastor of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars," those are the pastors, "in his right hand, and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Now, at this point, we find that Jesus is walking in the midst. By the time we get down to the church at Laodicea, he's out standing outside knocking on the door. He's not welcome there anymore, and that's where we're living today, when we're going through the motions, but Christ's not really welcome to change the things he'd like to change. If he was, we'd have a revival. Well, he says here, "To the pastor, he saith," Christ saith these things. He saith these things. It's Jesus that is talking. Now, it's interesting when you get down to verse number 7 in this portion of Scripture. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And so while it begins with the introduction here, saying, "You know, I got something to say to you pastors," we get down where the Holy Spirit says in verse number 7, "I have something to say to you church members." And so there's a lesson here in all of these letters for the pastor and for the people. But we need to understand, when he said here, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them that are evil," he's talking about the pastor, not the group in general. When he said in verse number 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love," he's talking to the pastor. It's not until we get down to verse number 7 that it focuses on the people. While he's still talking to the pastor, he said in verse number 5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of its place." It's very interesting, when Jesus talked about the church in the book of Matthew, he said, "It was my church." We get here at this point where the pastor is losing ground, and it's called the pastor's church. He said, "I will remove thy candlestick." So he writes unto the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Seven times he will say to the pastor in these letters, "I know thy works." Revelation 2:2, "I know thy works." 2:9, "I know thy works." 2:13, "I know thy works." 2:19, "I know thy works." 3:1, 3:8, and 3:15, he says to the pastor, "I know thy works." It was to the pastor that he said five times, "Repent." Chapter 2, verse 5, "Repent or else." 2:5, "Except thou repent." 2:16, "Repent or else." 3:3, "Hold fast and repent." 3:19, "Be zealous, therefore, and repent." He is not talking to the people at this point. He is talking to the pastor of the church. In Revelation 3:16, he says, So then, "Because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." He's talking to the pastor. Now, this has nothing to do with salvation whatsoever. It does not focus on the congregation, and it does not focus on salvation. It's a warning to the pastor, and when he talks about spewing him out of his mouth because he's lukewarm, what he's talking about is he will cease to be God's spokesman. In Jeremiah 15, verse number 19, it talks about the prophet. It says, "Thou shalt be as my mouth." Isaiah was God's spokesman, and it says back in Isaiah 55, verse number 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." And so he said, you can have a big crowd if you're going to compromise, but you won't be speaking for me, you'll be speaking for yourself. It won't be my church, it'll be thy church or thy candlestick. And so it's written to the church at Ephesus. Now, we find back in Acts chapter 19, verse number 8, that the church of Ephesus started out, it was a separated church. It says in verse 8, when divers or many were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them, that is, Paul, departed from them and separated the disciples. And he took them apart and he separated the remnant, those who were really interested in learning. Today we have a focus on getting a big crowd, and we get more goats in there than we do sheep, but they pay the bills, so we think that makes it okay. It's not okay. That's not what Paul did. When he had those who weren't interested, who were influencing the ones who were, he departed and separated those disciples from those people, and he taught them daily, it says, for a space of 2 years. Acts chapter 19, verse number 8. He said when he left in Acts chapter 20, and he was going to see these pastors for the last time, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. Take heed to feed. That's what we need to do. He didn't say, now make sure you go out and double the attendance. He said, take heed to feed. Well, the church gradually fell over a period of time. We see here in Acts chapter 19, verse number 20, it was an excellent church. And then we get to where he's writing to the Ephesians, and we find the church is beginning to slip. We see a little bit later on that when we get into the book of Revelation, we find that the church is sick unto death. How does that happen? Well, we're told in Ecclesiastes 8, verse number 11, that it's very gradual. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And so as we said in Acts 19, the church at Ephesus was in excellent condition. Health was great. By the time we get to Ephesians, the church was in a declining health. By the time we get to 1 and 2 Timothy, the church was in critical condition. And as we said in Revelation chapter 2, that same church was sick unto death. And so he says here in verse number 1, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Now to hold them, that means they're secure. In his right hand, that's interesting. Seven times in the book of Revelation, you're going to find reference to God's right hand. In Revelation 1:17, Christ laid his right hand on John. Back in Psalm chapter 20 and verse 6, talks about his saving strength of his right hand. Psalm 98 verse 1, the right hand of his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. And so it says here, he has the seven stars, that is the pastors, in his right hand. And he said the seven golden candlesticks, we see in verse number 20, these represent the seven churches. Now he has some commendations for this pastor. He says to him in verse number 2, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them. He said, I know thy works. Works here represents an activity involving mental as well as physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose. Let me give you that definition again. Work is an activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or a result. It's not only physical, but it's mental, studying, to show yourself approved, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says, I know thy works, but he also says, I know thy labor, and that's hard physical work relating to the body as opposed to the mind. And so this pastor was very busy working for God, laboring for God. It says here also that he had patience, that is the capacity to accept and tolerate delay or trouble or suffering without getting angry or upset. That's patience. He says, thou canst not bear them that are evil. Now that word bear means to support. You can't support those that are evil. Well, what do you have to do to be evil? That word has been translated simply harm twice in the New Testament. And to harm something is to cause damage. And so he says, I know that you have worked and you have labored and you have patience and you can tolerate delay and you cannot support those who would cause harm in your local church. And he went on to say, has it tried them? That word has been translated examined in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 5. And so he is examining those that say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. That word apostle has been translated in John 13, verse number 16, he that is sent. Not everybody that comes along carrying a King James Bible and says he's sent of God is. This pastor checked them out. He said, I'm going to try them which say they are sent by God. And he found out who was real, and he found out who was liars. You see, there's more to being a pastor than sitting around in your office studying all day and then preaching little sermonettes that don't get anybody upset. He was checking them out. So we get down here also in verse 3, and it says, and thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hath not fainted. Now, to bear something is to take the responsibility for something. He did that. He had patience. That word has been translated patient continuance in Romans 2 and verse number 7. And the Lord commended him, saying, you've done it all for my name's sake, and you have labored, and you have not fainted. Verse number 3, that fainting situation in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 3 says, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Not this pastor. He did not compromise to get a crowd. He did not focus on keeping the church full. He focused on keeping the church pure. He was a good man. Nevertheless, it says in verse 4. That word is found in the Bible 97 times. Nevertheless, the Lord says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Nevertheless, well, it's too bad those words are there. Well, we need to check our lives and see whether the Lord would say to us, yeah, you've done a good job in all these areas, nevertheless. Keep in mind, he says, I have somewhat against thee. He is still talking to the pastor. Now, it's God has the leadership in the home, and he's called the husband or the father. God has the leadership in the church. He's called the pastor. God says, I have somewhat against the leadership here. Why? Because they left their first love. They left it. Now, this verse gets misquoted quite often. It says, you've lost your first love. It doesn't say that. It says, you left your first love. It might be excusable to lose something, but to leave something is to actually make a decision. Say, I'm going to change direction here. And the subject here has to do with love. Now, in our lives, we have several different specific relationships. As Christians, we should all love the Lord. As fathers, we should love our children. As husbands, we should love our wives. As wives, we should love our husbands. As mothers, we should love our children. There's specific relationships that we have here where our first love ought to be in relationship to the title that we hold. However, what we're talking about here is a leadership, and particularly in this situation, he's writing the pastor, and the pastor's first love needs to be the sheep. Jesus said to Peter in John chapter 21, lovest thou me? He said, yeah, I love you. He said, then feed my lambs. And then twice he said, feed my sheep. Back in Ezekiel 34, verse number 8, the Bible says the shepherds fed themselves and have not fed my flock. And so to the pastor, the Lord says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and return, do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick. Once again, Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, it's my church. Not here. He said, I'll remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou, pastor, repent. Well, it's important when we're studying the scriptures to keep everything in its context. And the context here is that he's writing the pastor of the church at Ephesus. But we also read down in verse number 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And now we're talking about the Holy Spirit speaking unto the church member. And so there's a lesson here for all of us, not just for the pastor. Now, we have our hands full. If you're not a pastor, don't go grabbing this message and getting critical about your pastor. That's not what it's all about. You don't have to answer for him. You have to answer for yourself. And one of these days, you will stand face to face in front of Almighty God and give an answer for your life. And so, let him that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's the lesson for you if you're a church member. Those of us who are pastors, let's take our lesson and let's move on. Well, we read in verse number 8, it says, unto the angel or the pastor of the church in Smyrna, write these things. And we'll look at that in our next program. What did God have to say to the pastor and to the people at that church? We'll look at it in our next program. Be sure to tune in. Meantime, this message and song, let's make it our prayer. Take the world, but give me Jesus.
Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever, through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Sweetest comfort of my soul, with my Savior watching o'er me, I can sing though billows roll. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Let me view his constant smile. And throughout my pilgrim journey, light will cheer me all the while. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of of endless life.